Good morning. Today's daf in Sifas is daf Membeis. We have to a little bit more to go to finish up the third perek. We're on the top of Mem Aleph Amud Beis, so we're going to finish the third perek and move on to the fourth perek of the Masech. To thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learned with Zeich Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. Discussion that took us to the end of the third perek is really Naksuvas related. It's really Baba Kama related, but it comes up over here because the Mishnah, the last Mishnah of the third Perek, talked about Mod Beknas Pater. We have a fundamental rule, a distinction between money and fines. When it comes to money, money is an obligation, and money stands as an obligation, whether you make the admission on your own or whether Beis Din tells you that you have to pay the money. Either way, you're going to have to pay the money. But when it comes to knas, when it comes to a punitive fine, which the Torah levies in a number of situations, so the Mishnah told us that if you make an admission and you say that you owe, you say that you did X, Y, or Z, which normally would have required you to pay knas, but you make an admission, so you're going to be exempt from the knas. This is the rule, the fundamental rule, mod de beknas pater. And the Mishnah went through a number of examples of mod de beknas pater, and then it prompted the Gemara to have a classic discussion. It's not a Ksuvos discussion, it's really a Baba Kama discussion, as I pointed out yesterday. The entire discussion that we have over here is really in Baba Kama as well. And so we know that when a short time, that if I have an ox that has no history of goring, or it's done so once or twice, but it doesn't have a chazakah, it does not have a reputation, an established reputation of goring, and it gores somebody else's property, so what I have to do is I have to pay chatzi nezik, I have to pay half damages, half the value of the damages. As we learned yesterday, not only do I not have to pay full damages, I only have to pay half. On top of that, also we cap how much you pay. It's based on the value of your animal that did the goring, meaning that it is going to be half damages, up to but not exceeding the full value of your animal. Okay, it's a halacha of a short time that you pay chatzi nezek. Chatzi nezek, is that money or is that knas? That's the fundamental question. The Amoraim debate this very issue. On one hand, you can make two arguments. You can make one of two arguments. This is just a review of what we saw yesterday. One argument you can make is that really we're talking about a shore, we're talking about an ox. It's a relatively docile animal. It's not going to gore. It wasn't expected to gore. And it really, the fact that it put its head down and it gored somebody else's property, that comes as a total surprise, a total shock. Really unexpected, really you shouldn't have to pay anything, meaning it's not something that you should have protected. But the Torah says, you know what, you need to be more careful, you know what, knas, we're going to levy a fine against you. That's one way to view it, so that really you're fundamentally obligated zero, but the Torah imposed a knas. That's one argument. The other argument you can make is that no, really you should have guarded it, you should have protected it, you shouldn't have allowed it to go in someone else's property. And it gored, really you should be on the hook for all damages. The Torah gave you a break, cut you a break. You only have to pay half damages. But in other words, really we're going from 100% to 50%, but that 50% is tashlumen, that's payment. The difference whether or not chatzi nezek is considered knas or tashlumen, very simple. If you admit it, meaning witnesses don't come forward and testify that what your animal did, but you step forward and you testify, look, I'm really sorry, here's what my ox did, it gored your property, it gored your ox. So do you have to pay based on your own admission? So if it's a kanas, you're exempt. If it's money, you're obligated. So it's a machlokas amarayim, just to get the names out. Rav Papa says that it's mamon, the chatzi nezek is considered mamon, and Rav Huna, son of Rav Yeshua, brother Rav Yeshua, says no, that chatzi nezek is considered a kanas. Okay? And what did we see yesterday? So there are going to be four mishnayos throughout Shas that could be argued one way or another. So yesterday we covered two of the four mishnayos.
Just in case of for goring.
Yeah.
Not general.
I mean, for goring.
For goring of the
descent. Right. So we're on the very top of Mem Aleph Amud Beis Tashma. Hemi Shoris Ploni. Oh, Shoris Ploni, Arizim Mishlam Apiatmo. So the Mishnah and Baba Kama discusses the following scenario. This is one of the Mishnah. Again, we're going through a number of Mishnahs, so we have two more to go through today to see whether or not the Mishnahs speak clearly one way or another. So this case over here is that where I make an admission, my ox killed so and so, right? Or Shoris Ploni, or my ox killed the ox of so and so. Harizim Mishlam Apiatmo. So he pays, and he pays based on his own admission. Now, what kind of ox are we talking about? The Mishnah doesn't say. The Gemara therefore speculates. My love, b'tam. So aren't we talking about where the ox is a tam, which means that we're talking half damages? And if that's true, remember, all this is coming based on your own admission. So it sounds like from the Mishnah that you're going to be paying based on your own admission. If that's true, that's mamon. It's not kanas. Lo b'muad. So the Gemara says, nope. The Mishnah over there is not talking about a short time. It's talking about a short muad. It had a reputation. We're talking not about chatzi nezik. We're talking about nezik shalem. So the Gemara says, avabatam mai. So what does that mean? That when it comes to a tam, ein mashal ma piatzmo, so that means that you don't pay based on your own admission. So the Gemara says, adidni seifa, avdo shaploni, ein mashal ma piatzmo, niflog v'nisibididei. So the Gemara says, so why then doesn't the Mishnah make a much sharper distinction? And the sharper distinction should be go like this. When is it true that you have to pay based on your own admission? That's when it's a short muad of abatam and mishal mapiatzmo. So, but if it's a short time, then you don't have to pay based on your own admission, because a short time is chatzi nezik and chatzi nezik is kanas, and therefore you wouldn't have to pay on your own admission. Why doesn't the Mishnah make that distinction, which presumably would be a sharper distinction? So the Gemara's answer is very simple. Kula b'muad kamayri. No, because the Mishnah is talking about a short muad, meaning the Mishnah is very focused in terms of what kind of shor we're talking about. We're talking about a shor muad. Within shor muad, we're going to draw distinctions. But in other words, we're not going to jump from shor muad to shor tam, because the Mishnah is singularly focused on talking about a shor muad. Tashma, the Gemara quotes another Mishnah. And this is the last Mishnah we're going to quote on this issue. Ze'aklal kol mishalom yosa ma'asho hizik, ena mishalom ha'piyatzmo. Where is this Mishnah? This Mishnah is not in Baba Kama. This Mishnah is in Ksuvos, meaning yesterday's daf. The Mishnah says that any time the Torah obligates you to pay above and beyond what is compensatory, so that's called the kanas. And therefore, if you admit that you owe this money, you don't have to pay it because it's a kanas. That's what our Mishnah taught us. After the Mishnah went through three different examples of what are examples of making an admission on a kanas, the Mishnah then gave us a general rule. But if you read carefully the Mishnah, let's go over the Mishnah one more time and read the words of the Mishnah carefully. Zakla kol mishalim yoser amashi hizik. Anytime that the damages exceed the obligation to pay exceeds that which you damage, so in a mishal mapiatzma, you don't pay based on your own admission. Ha pachos ma'amashi hizik mishalim. So, reading the Mishnah very carefully, what does that mean? That if the obligation to pay is less than the damages, i.e., chati nezek, so then mishal mapiatzma, so then you're going to pay based on your own admission. It's only when it exceeds, but if it's less, then you pay in your own admission. So, and that would therefore mean that chatzi nezek would be teshlumim, not kanas.
If it exceeds, you don't even pay karen?
For sure you pay karen, meaning the karen is the compensation. But anything above that is no longer compensation. Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Apiatzma lo tema ha pachos mimashi hizik ela ema ha kim mashi hizik mishalim apiatzma." So the Gemara says, what we're going to have to do is reformulate the Mishnah. Now, I don't think the Gemara here means edit the Mishnah. It just simply means we're just going to have to reinterpret the Mishnah. And it means that when the obligation is commensurate to the damages that you did, when it's equal to, so then that's called tashlumim. But if it's greater than or it's less than, so then that doesn't fall under the category of tashlumim. That's kenas. Ava pachos mayin mishal mapiatzmo. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me now that if the obligation to pay is less than the actual damages incurred, so then what? So then you're going to be paying. I'm sorry. Then you're not going to be paying based on your own admission. So listening, Zaklok, Kol she ainu mishalom kibashe hizik ainu mishalom apiatzmo. Demashma pachus mashma yoser. Why isn't the Mishnah more exacting in its words? Let the Mishnah say very clearly that if the obligation is equal to the damages that you did, and only in that case do you pay based on your own admission. So Tiyufta, Gemara says that's an excellent point, and you know what? It's a challenge. Now, usually when the Gemara says the word Tiyufta, what does that mean? It's an irrefutable challenge, meaning the position of a chatzi nezek falling under the category of kanas is a very difficult position to defend. And generally speaking, when you see Tiyufta, it means we can't defend it. And then the Gemara says, immediately after rejecting, Paganizka Kanasa, here's the halacha. Chatzi Nezek, what category does it fall under? It falls under Kanas. Oh, okay, good. What does that mean? Meaning after the Gemara just said, well, how it can't be Kanas because look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that only when the obligation exceeds the damages, then and only then it's Kanas. Chatzi Nezek is below the damages. It's half the damages. So doesn't our Mishnah, it wasn't our Mishnah conclusive that Chatzi Nezek is considered Mamon? So Tiyufta Vehilchasa? So the Gemara says, I understand. You just challenged that position from our Mishnah. You use the word Tiyufta, which generally means that we refute that position. Then the Gemara says, and the Halacha is Chatzi Nezek is Kanas. What just happened? In. So the Gemara says, nope. Or I should say, if translated better, yep. That's correct. Taima ma'isusiv. Because remember, what was the challenge? The challenge was mishum de lo ketani kamashi hizik. So the Gemara says, because you were bothered by the language of the Mishnah. Gemara says, let's go back to the question and let's readdress the question. Lo psikale. Do you know why the Mishnah did not use that language? It couldn't use that language. Because there's another area in damages where you pay half damages. And it's not kenas, and it's mamon. And that is chatzi nezek tsroros. Your animal's walking, your animal steps on something, based on the weight and pressure of your animal. The little rock that it steps on, almost like a bullet, right, because of the pressure, so shoots out from underneath the foot, and it hits. So those types of damages, that's what's called tsroros, pebbles. So what do you, the owner of the ox, have to pay? Chatzi nezek. Halacha la Moshe Misinai, meaning you're not going to find this in the Chumash, but we have a tradition, from going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, that half damages that you pay is under the category of mamon, not kenas. So our Mishnah couldn't make a very general rule that anytime it's chatzi nezek, so it's mamon. It's kenas. Why couldn't it make that general rule? Because this is the exception. That's why the Mishnah couldn't use that language. Mishum hachilo ketani. Good. So now, basically, it's interesting. Well, basically, what the Gemara says is, I know you said tiyufta earlier, but it's not really tiyufta. Meaning, it's not a refutable. We could defend the position of Knas. Not only can we defend it, but the Gemara concludes that's in fact the halacha. Okay. Good. Well, let's before we finish the perek, Gemara is going to give us now a little bit of halacha to consider, to think about. But let's, before we get to the next part of the Gemara, let's just quickly wrap it up. So we have a general rule that anytime you make an admission, a hodah b'knas, so you're going to be exempt. That's mod b'knas pater. That's what we saw in our Mishnah. We saw numerous examples. Why are we talking about that now? Because onus mafata, there's knas. And so making an admission, you are ma'anis somebody, you are mafata somebody, so you're not going to pay based on your own admission. You're not going to pay the knas based on your own admission. And chatzi nezek, which is really a Baba Kama issue. It's not a Ksuvas issue. What category does that file under? Does that file under Mamma or does that file under Kanas? Gemara's conclusion is it files under Kanas. Okay. Now that means the following. If my ox, I know none of us in this room own, but if my ox were to put its head down and gore somebody else's property, so if I admit it, I don't have to pay. That's the halacha. To which now the Gemara says, It means a couple of other things as well. V'hashta de amart paganiska kanasa. Now that we say that chatzi nezek falls under the category of kanas, haikava de achal imre. Let's say that my dog were to eat your sheep. Good. Fine. Vishunra de achal tanagola. Or let's say my cat were to eat your rooster or chicken. Tanagola ravarve. Your very large chicken. Okay, I know, it sounds like Chad Gadya. Getting ready for Pesach. 2.5 weeks away. So the Gemara says, under these circumstances, Mishunahu. That is unusual. Okay, again, just a little bit of Baba Kama for today. The halakha goes like this. When my ox puts its head down and gores with its horn, I pay chatzi nezek. Now again, we now know chatzi nezek is kenas, that's the conclusion. But why is it chatzi nezek? Meaning, a very basic question. Why don't I pay full damages? My ox was responsible for damage. Why don't I pay full damages? The answer is very basic. Because it's so unusual. Meaning, it's mishuna. It's unusual for my ox to do that. It's a docile animal. However, that's the category of Karen. right? Very beginning of Bava Kamma. Remember, there are four categories of damages. But what if my ox were to step on something? Stepping on something, that's regal. That's usual. That's normal. If my ox steps on something and damages based on stepping on something, I have to pay full damages. Because that's something which is all oxen walk. So that's normal. So basically, the difference between Chatzi Nezek versus Nezek Shalem is whether it's an unusual act or something which is normal. How does that translate? So the Gemara here gives two examples. It translates where a dog eats a sheep. Dog don't eat sheep. That's very unusual. So if I'm the owner of a dog and my dog would eat somebody else's sheep, this falls under the category of Karen. And therefore, I'm Chayev Chatzi Nezek. Or the second example of the Gemara, if my cat were to eat someone's very large rooster, that's also highly unusual. And because it's highly unusual, what category does it fall under? Karen. And therefore, it's Chatzi Nezek. So, Mishnah Uvalog Magbina Bebavo. Now, here's what it means. It means that it's Karen. It means that it's Chatzi Nezek. But it also means something also just as fundamental. And that's it. And that's that. Now we live out in Babylonia. Now I know I'm not current with the times, right? But the point is still going to be the very same point. We live outside of Eretz Yisrael. And more fundamentally than that, we don't have smicha. And smicha is not given outside of Eretz Yisrael. So now, what don't we have? We don't have what's called dayanim mumchim. We don't have expert judges. Knas can only be levied by a court who are made up of dayanim. But not just dayanim, but dayanim mumchim, who have smicha. And so therefore in Bava, if my animal were to do an unusual damage, like these two examples that we just gave, you don't even get to take me to court, because we don't have a court. We'll have a court that will do loans and basic business transactions. But we don't have a court out here in Bava who is able to levy fines against others. And so therefore, because of our circumstances, this is not a case that can be adjudicated. Aval zutre. But then the Gemara goes on to say, but if it's a small animal or a chehu, that's normal. Meaning that if my dog were to eat your small animal, okay, that falls under the category of normal. Normal. Rashi says, "Havinu niske de shein," meaning normal falls under the category of shein, shein meaning tooth. Meaning that if your animal were to eat somebody else's property, all animals eat. That's considered normal. By shein, what do you pay? Nezek shalem. So ezutrehu umagbinan. So therefore, it's a collectible. Meaning because it falls under the category of nezek, but not chatzi nezek, but nezek shalem. Nezek shalem, everyone agrees, is tashlamim. And therefore, even out here in Bavol, the courts are going to adjudicate because that's nezek shalem. That's full damages. That's not a knas. Okay. V'itafas l'mafkin aminein. Now, the Gemara goes on to point out one more halacha. So, let's say there was a tfisa, meaning, let's say there was a knas type damage. And again, out here in Bavel, we can't go to court because we don't have dayanim mumchim. But let's say, though, the nizak, the one who was damaged, he's beside himself, can't believe that your animal did damage to mine and I can't take you to court. That's nuts. So what does he do? He goes over there and he basically takes what he believes is commensurate value to the damages that were done. So v'itafas l'mafkin aminei. So this is a halach of tfisa. So the niza can go and he could take. The Gemara is, how does the Gemara feel about it? It's not perfectly clear. It's not lechatchila, it's b'di'evan. Okay, the Amar ikvuli zimna l'artisol mekvin alei. Let's say the nizak really feels that, look, we are out here in Bavel. We don't have a court here to go to Bavel. You know what? I want to go to take you to court to Eretz Yisrael. And he, the nizak, the one who was damaged, can turn to the mazik and say, well, you and I are going to take a trip. We're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to have this case tried in Eretz Yisrael. V'lo azam ashamtin alei. And the mazik, if he doesn't want to go, is going to be placed in chayrim. Beinkach uveinkach mashamtin alei. And the Gemara points out, and even before his refusal to go to Eretz Yisrael, there's another reason why we're going to put the mazik in chayrim as well. And that is, he's got a crazy dog. meaning what his dog ate somebody else's sheep, so he's got a crazy dog. Somebody who's got a hazard in his house, Gemara says, you put them in a cherem. You take your hezek, you take your hazard that you have in your house. Your hazard is now in the form of a dog, and you get rid of it. Mid Rabbi Nassan, the time Rabbi Nassan Omer, minayin shelo yigadol adam kelav rabesoch beso, raising a bad dog in your house is an iser. Velo yamid sulam ra'u besoch beso, having a rickety ladder in your house is also an iser. Shenemar lo sasim damim beisecha, your house should not be a house of blood, meaning you should have no hazards in your house. Accidents, of course, happen, but Don't turn your house into a hazard. Get rid of the dog, get rid of the rickety ladder. In other words, your house should be fundamentally safe. So even if you didn't go to court, even before you were asked to go to court, Basin's going to look at you. That dog is crazy. You get rid of the dog. If not, we're going to put you in cherem.
There was a story that he had meals, and then the rabbi would not go to his house.
Okay, I have a vague recollection of the story. Okay, the Gemara, I don't know. I mean, in other words, the Gemara here is very clear, right? Crazy dogs are not welcomed. Okay, Hadron al-Khilanaros, that is the end of the third parak of the Masechta. And we move on now to the fourth parak. Now, generally speaking, the way Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, when he put the prakim together in Shas, so he was very organized. Usually, when we move on to a new parak, we move on to a new subject. But that's generally true. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Right? Off the top of my head, I can just think of that transition in Rosh Hashanah from, what is it? It's the second to the third. Second or third parak. Oh, anyway, there's one transition in Rosh Hashanah from one parak to another, where the first mishnah of the next parak is really just a continuation, and nothing changes. I don't know. In other words, sometimes it happens, where even though we move to a new parak, nevertheless we are going to be we're going to stay on topic, and we're going to stay on topic for the next 4 days. Mem Beis, Mem Gimel, Mem Dalet, Mem Hay. Okay, 5 days. Okay, not till Mem. Memvav, do we turn to a new topic? So we're staying on topic with Pituin Ones. We start the next Mishnah. As you'll see, there's in the beginning of this Mishnah, there's not going to be much new being learned. It's going to be a nice review of what we saw already. But when we get to the end of the Mishnah, we'll talk now about new ideas. Right, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, when he authors Mishnayos, is generally speaking, not generally, almost always interested in giving us a chiddush, a novel idea. So Nara shenispatata, so Nara who was seduced, Bosha upagama v'kenasa shalaviha. So all payments go to the father. Okay, like we've seen already before, and we're now saying it again. The address in terms of who is the recipient of those money is the father. Nara, generally speaking, all incomes of the Nara go to the father. Nara is in a very strange predicament in life, where she, for 6 months, from 12 to 12 and a half years of age, she is an adult, but she's still under the... her father still has rights over her. Father could still marry her off while she's a Nara. In other words, the father is in a... She is in a limbo state of life, where, on one hand, she's an adult with full responsibility, das, everything, and meanwhile, the father still has the rights over her. And those rights include also... incomes accrued go to the father. So this is an income. It's an income, obviously. She doesn't want it. She didn't want it. The father didn't want it. Although we're talking right now about seduction, so eventually she capitulated. So So when you have a Nara who was seduced, so the boshes of pagam, those are the, generally speaking, what we call compensatory damages. The kanas, that's obviously the punitive fine of 50 shkalim, goes to the father. The hatsar b'tfusa. And what about pain? So if it's tfusa, if it's not seduction, but rather it's rape, so then there's also an element of pain. Remember, we learned just a couple days ago in the Mishnah that really the difference in terms of payments between ones and mafata is that when it comes to ones, there's also an element of pain. Why is there pain by pitui? The Gemara asked that question earlier. The Gemara answered that question earlier. But meanwhile, hatsar b'tfusa, pain goes to the father as well. But Rashi, the very first Rashi on the Mishnah, right, see the bottom of the Amud, the Mishnah is not super clear that the pain goes to the father. Meaning, you read the Mishnah, the Mishnah just simply says, Vatsar Bitfusa. Right? You see Rashi? Vatsar Nami Lahavi Abanus. It also goes to the father as well. Meaning, what Rashi's doing is, Rashi's telling me, don't argue that maybe pain should go to her. And why would you argue that? Very simple. Because pain is obviously very personal. I mean, these other payments also are very personal. But in other words, pain is something that she herself experiences. You could have made an argument. You could have said, well, the pain maybe should go to her. But that's, Rashi says that's an argument, but Rashi says, no, it's not. That's not the way to read the Mishnah. The way to read the Mishnah is that it goes to her. It goes to the father.
What's the objective method by which pain is valued?
Right, so it's a great question. The Mishnah, Baba Kama, goes through some sort of formula. I don't remember exactly the wording of the Mishnah, but it's basically how much would you pay not to have that pain, more or less. Okay, and again, as I mentioned yesterday, pain and embarrassment. These are things which are hard to not hard, impossible to give. You know, absolute numbers in terms of what its value is. So the Mishnah has give guidelines, and then the Beis Din with those guidelines comes up with the figure. So the So Boshu Pagam of Ganasa Shalavia Vatsar Bitfusa. And by the way, the word Tfusa, the Mishnah doesn't say the word onus, the Mishnah says the word Tfusa, but Rashi over there says, yeah, because the Mishnah is using the language of the Pesukim. Right? The Pasuk uses the same language. Okay. Amda Bedin. And here we so far, really nothing new. The Mishnah continues. Amda Bedin Ashalamesa Av, Hare Hensha Av. Okay? Let's say they go to court. And court rewards her, and by her I really mean him. Right, it's really interesting. Meaning, she's the cause of the income. Meaning, she's the one generating the income. But who's the recipient of the income? The father is the recipient of the income. So it's right. It's an interesting tension over here in terms of why we're going to court and who's getting the money. Why we're going to court is her. Who's getting the money is the father. Okay, amda b'din ashalom meisav. That they go to court before the dad dies, so harein shalav. So that means that the money now, after the court has rewarded the her/her father with the money, so that means the father really is now the recipient of the money, which means then meisav harein shalachin. So let's say before actual collection, let's say dad dies. Okay, but now it's a receivable, and being a receivable, so what happens to the receivable? The estate collects the receivable. So therefore it goes to the brothers. But let's say, however, they didn't go to court and dad dies prior to them going to the court. So if dad died prior going to, if dad dies prior to going to court, so then who collects it? She collects it. Meaning, again, it's that tension. She's the one going to court. If there's a father, the father collects it. But if they go to court and dad dies before they go to court, so not only is she going to court, but she's also the one collecting it. She's the recipient. Amda b'din ashalabagra. The Gemara gives now a very, almost an identical halacha, but a different reason why she's going to collect as opposed to the father. Let's say bagras, meaning she goes from being a nara to being a bogeris. So amda b'din ashalabagra harein shalav. Let's say they go to court before she becomes a bogeres, so then the money goes to the father. And again, once they go to court, so now it's a collectible, as a collectible, so therefore the estate is entitled to it. So lo speak alamod bedin, but if they didn't go to court, and she becomes a bogeres before they go to court, now the money is hers. And therefore, she's the recipient of that money if they go to court only afterwards. Understand?
Well, why wouldn't she get the money from the estate?
Huh? Because she doesn't inherit the estate.
So who's going to take care of her?
It's the brother's responsibility to take care of her. But in terms of the actual obligation, in terms of the collection, the estate gets the collection, and she's not the estate. Okay. The
the women ran off.
No, it's basic halacha.
I understand.
Yeah.
And if there's not enough money, then
it's actually coming up in tomorrow's daf, where if the estate doesn't have enough money, so then the chachamim took all the estate and moved it to the women and moved it to the girls. But in other words, but the basic halacha is that right. It's right. It's that's psukim that the men are the one who are the inheritors of the estate. So the correct. So good. Right. That's right. So the let's make sure we wrap our head around this idea. Meaning, as opposed to money, money's a collectible. And whether or not you go to court, you don't go to court. When it comes to just a regular monetary payment, what the court is all the court's doing is just simply enforcement. Meaning, you owe him this. You're being a little bit difficult. Let's go to court. And all the court's doing is just solidifying an obligation which is already there. But that's not the way it works with Kenas. Kenas is a punitive fine. Kenas is only there only after Basin says that it's there. Before Basin says that it's there, it's like floating. It's like, you know, it's you can't even see it. Meaning you can't see it, you can't smell it. It doesn't exist. Its existence is only after the court says that it's there. So the key factor for Kenas is Hamada Bedin. Only when you go to court. So therefore, if dad dies before they go to court, if she becomes a begaris before they go to court, and now they go to court, and now the court awards kenas, she's going to be the recipient of the kenas because it simply didn't exist. Obviously, the crime was committed prior to them going to court, but as far as the money is concerned, viewing the kenas as a money, it does not exist until they go to court. That's a very basic halacha when it comes to kenas, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. We didn't know this before today. Meaning, in terms of the idea that a court is the one who obligates the kenas, we didn't. The Mishnah didn't articulate that. Now, the truth of the matter is we kind of knew that already based on yesterday's daf. What did we learn yesterday? If you are mod b'kenas, you're pater. If you admit to kenas, then you're going to be exempt. Why? It's based on basically the same principle. Because what is kenas? Meaning kenas isn't anything until the court issues a ruling. So if you say, look, here's what I did on, you know, I did this and therefore what? Now, we're not going to court. I mean, there's no need to go to court. You admitted it. So in other words, kenas simply doesn't exist until the court says it exists. Okay.
Does the court do the collection also?
If the person now is difficult in terms of paying, so then we'll go back to court. And the court will seize. Okay, but yes. So okay, Rabbi Shimon Omer, we're almost done with the Mishnah. There were two lines from the bottom on Mem Alpha Med Beis. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im lo yispik al agabah sa chemeza av harin shel atzma. Rabbi Shimon says, look, I'm going to push it out one step further. Meaning, the Tanakam of our Mishnah says, what's the critical moment when it comes to Kenas? Hamad Abedin, the ruling of the court. Rabbi Shimon says, I think it even goes one step further. I think, says Rabbi Shimon, that it goes to collection. Meaning, the Kenas isn't realized until it's actually collected. That, I think, is a critical moment. So, let's say collection wasn't done until the father died. And so, therefore, Basin awarded the kenas. And the father died after that. Rabbi Shimon says, still, I don't think it belongs to the estate. I still think that before collection, it still is in some sort of nebulous state. And only after collection do we say that it's there. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, if dad dies after Hamada Bedin, but before collection, it goes to her. Lo speak a lagaba, such a mesav, harin shalatzma. Maisi adel matziasaf apishlo gavta mesav harin shalachin. And the Gemara over here just gives us a contrast. Let's say Maisi adel her earnings. Okay? Again, like we said before, let's say it again. Earnings of Anara go to her father. Earnings of Anara, that's money. That's a collectible. So therefore, let's say she worked, she earned, the employer hasn't paid, and let's say dad dies. So, but again, these were earnings that she did when she was Anara. That's money, that's a collectible, that's the estate. That goes to the brother. Mitzia as well. Now, Mitzia is a little trickier, because what does Mitzia mean? Meaning a finding that she had. So that goes to the father. So again, the metziah goes to the father. Therefore, if dad dies, the metziah goes to, it goes to the estate and it goes to the brothers. We'll talk more about the metziah later on. Right now, let's focus on the first part of the Mishnah. My Kamashman, the Gemara starts off right away. We're on Membeis Amud Aleph. The Gemara's question is very simple. What new item did we learn in our Mishnah? My Kamashman Tanina. Go back a couple days in the Daf. Go back to Daf Lamites. Hamefata nosin shosha dvarim va'onis arba. Hamefata nosin boshtu begam v'kinas mosiv lav onish nosin esatzar. The Mishnayos earlier already gave us all this basic information. What new have we learned in our Mishnah? So answers the Gemara one word, le'avia. It's the Rechlei. Okay, sorry, three words. In other words, what the Mishnah didn't tell us previously, and what our Mishnah is telling us is the address. Who's getting the money? Dad's getting the money. So the avia nami pshita. The Gemara says, I didn't need the Mishnah. I knew that already. Why do I know that already? Midika yav mefate. Because think about it. What is the Mishnah? What is our Mishnah talking about? Seduction. Seduction means what? She agreed. If she agreed, so that means that yes, there was embarrassment, and yes, there was pain, no pain by pitui. Yes, there was embarrassment, and yes, there was nezek, but she agreed, which means she was mochel, or to say it better, she was mochelus. So de'ilas ma ma yaiv mefata midaita avad. So, and obviously, it goes to the father because if she were the recipient, if she were the address, she wouldn't be getting it because by virtue of the fact that she agreed, that means that she waived the payment. So clearly, just by logical deduction, obviously the father's the address. So once again, we're going to re-ask the same basic question. What new thing did we learn in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, "Amda bedinat tzrichlei." So you know what we learned new in the Mishnah? I know I gave away the answer when I learned the Mishnah, but okay, here's the Gemara. "Amda bedinat tzrichlei." So what we learned new in the Mishnah was this idea of Hamada Bedin. So plug to the Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. And not only that, but not only the basic idea of Hamada Bedin, but also the machlokis in our Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon in terms of when does the Knas materialize? When does it become a monetary obligation? So according to the Chacham of our Mishnah, the ruling of Beis Din, according to Rabbi Shimon, actual collection. Period. Good. That's the new thing that we learned in our Mishnah. Okay. We are, for the rest of today's daf, we are going to learn together a Mishnah in Shavuos. Actually, a couple of Mishnahs in Shavuos. We're going to be learning a couple of braces as well. It's not that often, but it happens, and it's very enjoyable when it happens. When the Daf and the Parsha Shavua come together, we have a good intersection for this week. Okay, today's Daf is Daf Membeis in Ksuvos, and it focuses on a carbon that's mentioned at the end of this week's Parsha. All right, this week's Parsha is Vayikra. Okay, we leave the world of Shmos and the Exodus, and now we go to Karbanos. There is a very unique carbon that is mentioned at the end of this week's Parsha. It's the very end. It's last Aliyah, and it takes us from Psukim Chaf Aleph, Chaf actually, of Perikei, all the way to Chaf Vav. And the carbon goes as follows. Nefesh, I'm going to give a very brief introduction. Nefesh, Kisechata Malamal Ba'Hashem. A person sins, and he is Mo'el. Mo'el with an ayin means he's treacherous. V'ki chesh ba'miso. And what does he do? He denies his friend. V'bikarno b'sumas yada b'gezel o'oshak ha'se miso. Meaning, friend comes over to him and says, look, remember I lent you an item, remember I gave you a loan, or remember that you stole from me but you're ready to give it back to me. Or let's say the person found an item, denies having found it. V'nishba al shaker. There are no witnesses, there is no corroboration. In other words, it's between one man and his fellow. And they go to court and he says, he owes me. It's like, no, I don't. And what happens? He swears that he doesn't know it. Alach is mikol asher yasa adam lachto bahena. Vayak yachteva ashem veishivas exela shagazal so oshak asher ashak oosa bikadna asher afkarito oosa aveda asher mafsa. After having sworn, I'm going to add a little bit to the psukim, he has a sleepless night. There's a couple of sleepless nights. I know the Torah doesn't describe the sleepless nights, but in other words, but he's really, his conscience is really getting the best of him, and his Yetzer Tov is really trying to speak to him. And he finally comes around and he says, you know what? I did a terrible thing. I stole, and compounded with that, I also lied in court and said I didn't steal. So now what? He goes to court and he says, okay, I'm ready to come to terms. I admit, here's what I did. I stole and I lied. And I swore falsely. So Mikol Hashem Shaval Lav LaShekar V'Shilem Oso Berosho. So how do you make amends? So the Torah over here is very clear about how you make amends. Number one, you make restitution. That's easy. V'Chamishisav Yosef Alav LaSher Hu Lo Yinenu B'Yomash Maso. On top of that, you also have to add a fifth, which, as of course we know, is 25%. Okay, yeah, you like my math? It's good. It works for today. It is 25%. It's milabar. It's after the after you add it on. The Esa Shamo Yavila Shem, and then second to last pasuk of this week's parsha, and then what do you do? You also have to bring a carbon asham, and Ayil Tamim and Atzon Berkachal Hashem as a kohen. You bring a special carbon asham. The Chipir Lav Akon Lifnei Hashem and Nisachlo Alachas Mikol Ashir Yasal Hashma Ba. So after having denied, sworn falsely, and admitted, so the three things that you need to do is, one, make restitution, two, add a fifth on, and three, bring a carbon asham. This is, and let's give it a term, it's called asham gezela. The Mishnah and Shavuos, Mishnayos and Shavuos deal with all these types of karbanos, because involved in this, in order to make the threshold of having to be obligated to bring this karban, you have to swear falsely. So, what mesechta are you going to talk? Are we going to see about swearing falsely? Mesechta Shavuos. Okay, don't get confused. By the way, Shavuos has nothing to do with the holiday of Shavuos, although it's sometimes it can be confusing because how many dapim are there in Shavuos? 49. Okay, but you know, Anasta upatita is biti. The Mishnah in Shavuos describes the following. There's a claim, and the claim is, a man says to another, you raped or you seduced my daughter. Not both, meaning either one of the two. And his counterclaim is, I don't know what you're talking about. Full denial. Mashbiach ani. So the accuser says, are you ready to swear? The Amar Amen. And his response is, sure. The word Amen, that is, in this context, that's a shvua. The acher kach right by the sota, same basic story. Her answer of amen is a shvua. The acher kach hoda, and then afterwards, the accused realized that not only did I do what he claimed I did, but I denied it, and I swore falsely, and now he comes to terms, and now he makes an admission. Chayav. So the Tanakama of the Mishnah Shvua says, he's obligated. Everything we just described. Full restitution, a fifth, and also carbon asham. Rabbi Shimon Poter, Shein HaMasham Knas, Al Pi Atzma. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you're exempt. Why? Because what are they arguing about? They're arguing about a Knas. Does a Knas exist? No. A Knas does not exist until Beis Din says it exists. Meaning they're not arguing over money, they're arguing over knas. Now, let's think about this for just a moment. What is Rabbi Shimon talking about? They're arguing about knas. They're arguing about two things. They're arguing about knas and they're arguing about mammon. Meaning, included in the claim of you rape my daughter or you seduce my daughter, there really are two things going on. Number one, there's a knas. Number two, there's also the compensatory payments for boshes, pagam. In the case of ones, sa'ar. So they're really both. So later on, we're going to talk in the Gemara, what are Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim arguing about? It's kenas and it's mammon. To give away the ending, Rashi over here does, so I'll do so as well. To give away the ending, the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon is, what are we focusing on? Meaning, when the claim is, you seduced my daughter. So when the claimant makes that claim, was he focusing on the compensatory aspects of the accusation, or was he focusing on the kenas? That's the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. We'll talk more about that later on. Amar lo, let's go back to the Mishnah. They say back to Rabbi Shimon, Afa pishenu mashon kenas al piatzmo, avam boshet pekama al piatzmo. Chachamim said to Rabbi Shimon, why are you looking at the kenas? Look at the boshet, look at the pekam. Those are aspects that are monetary, period. Adkan, that's the Mishnah in Shavuos. Why are we learning the Mishnah in Shavuos together? Stay tuned, you'll see right now. Well, not right now, but over the course of the next couple of minutes. Baimine Abai my Rabba. Abai asked the following question from Rabba. Curious, Rashi over here. Rashi says that Abai was a student of Rabba. If at this point in Shas you did not know that, so I'm curious. I don't know why Rashi is telling us that over here. Homel chaver anastu patitis biti v'amarticha v'din v'nischayevta limamon. Let's say a person says to his friend, you raped or seduced my daughter, and I took you to court, and the court obligated us money, and who amer lo anastu v'lo patita v'lo amarati b'din. And the denial comes, full denial. And I'm not obligating you on money. And he admitted. So here, in this question, there's one more wrinkle to the case over here. Well, what was the accusation? Not just that you raped or seduced my daughter, but, and I took you to court. Meaning part of the accusation was, we went through the whole trial already, and the court awarded me money. And he's denying that, very similar to what you asked earlier. So now, under these circumstances, what would Rabbi Shimon say? So Rabbi Shimon, my kevin dama b'din mamona havai, is it that once we go to court, it's considered money? Umechayev ala karban shvua, and therefore, it's a denial on money. Odim hafagav dama b'din kenas havai, or maybe no. Even if the claim was we went to court, but still, fundamentally, what is it? It's a kenas. So Amalei Mamona Havei Mechayev Ala Karban Shvua. So what is Rabba's answer? Rabba's answer is, it's money. If the claim was, not only that you raped or seduced my daughter, but in addition to that, we already went to court, and the court already awarded me, so now it's considered money, and therefore, the denier is going to have to bring, is going to have to make full restitution, plus add a fifth, plus bring a Karban Asham. Okay, we'll pause over here.
The
kenas he does, because the claim was we already went to court. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow, Esvei, we'll pick it up from the question, as the Gemara is going to ask a question that will take 22 years to answer, but for our purposes, we're going to answer it tomorrow morning, God willing. But as you'll see, this was a 22-year-old question that we're about to ask tomorrow. Okay, I'll stop over here.